Satnam, hello, and welcome to call two of Get Your Skinny Back. This one's really exciting, and I'm really excited about it. I have the wonderful Alana Pratt with me, and Alana, I met through, we met in very circuitous ways, let's just say that. We both decided to go on something and give a lot of our time and energy for free. And in the process, we met each other and got to understand that we had something to share together with the world. Probably many things. But what Alana does is she works with that goddess aspect of sensuality and sexuality. She works with women. She works with men. She really gets to work on fearlessly bringing that out. She calls herself the sexy mom, and she is, trust me. But she also is very upfront about it. It don't always go the way you think it should, okay? So today we're going to talk about exactly that. How to live in our sexuality, our sensuality, and incorporate that in ourselves so that whatever physical weight you are, that you can lose a lot of your psychic and spiritual and mental weight by embracing the depth of your beauty and your sensuality and your sexuality. Because those things are really, really important to us all, to all of us as women. So welcome, Alana. And
oh, it is such a pleasure to be with you. I'm very excited about this delicious conversation, and I'm glad that this is the first of many things we get to do together in service of women's delicious full self-expression.
Absolutely. So, you know, the thing that's always interesting to women is the fact that sometimes we tend to look at other people and go, I've actually had people say this to my face, I want to be you. And I think, really? You have no idea what I have been through. You just see me in this moment, or you see me in my house, or you see me in these clothes, or you see something and that looks so good to you. And the truth of it is it's the depth and the vastness of the situations that we've gone through and we continue to go through that makes us really juicy in the life. So I just want you to share a little bit about your situation, and that you get to stay juicy and sexual and sexy, even though that's not exactly what's happening in your life at this moment on that level. But it is still,
It's so true. It's such a blessing to speak with you, and I really believe it's one of the main reasons we were drawn together. I love your capacity to be what I call like a transparent or vulnerable leader. It's something I'm committed to cultivating within myself, because yes, I have a lot of wisdom to share. Yes, I've alchemized a lot of my pain into feminine power, and yet I am so like everyone else. And what I also love is our conversations are so authentic and revealing, and nothing to defend against or blame against, just to put it out on the table and share as powerful women. And I really think that's a factor of sisterhood that we all can embrace, that can dissolve the competition and really connect us deeply. And what's going on in my life right now, I'm a single mother, a single motherless mother, and I had attracted someone I really thought could potentially be the one, and very handsome and debonair and generous, etc. But when and I had become intimate with him pretty much off the get-go, and when our first disagreement occurred, I had no clue the lack of depth or consciousness that was going on, because it was all so beautiful and rosy for the first month. And I'm really committed to having a really good look at that, so I don't need to go through that again. It was very shocking, very abusive. It was, it really It was awful. It was awful. And I think one of the first places I could go is blame, defensiveness myself, engage in the fight, drain myself even more. But I've chosen to disengage, reconnect with wonderful sisters like you, take good care of my body, my mind, my heart. And I believe the foundational work I do as a sensual woman, my practices have allowed me to get through this bump in the road, shall we call it, or pothole I fell in, quicker, more quickly than I would have otherwise.
Yes. And, you know, we're talking about sensuality and sexuality. Yesterday I was over at a friend's house, and at this weight loss course I taught with this naturopath years ago, I bought hula hoops for everybody, and I brought them in. And I made everybody get up and use hula hoops and find out, like, how into your whole second chakra you were, because if you can't really control your core energy and get down into your hips and move, you cannot do a hula hoop. You can't do it. But in learning how to do a hula hoop, you actually can get your hips back and get that juiciness and that sensuality in back. And I think one of the things that, that Alana and I were talking about the other day that was so great after this this learning situation she's just been through, is I have a rule that I share with other people. And the rule is this: sip lemonade on the veranda for 3 months. Your sensuality and sexuality does not depend on how fast we can make love to somebody on a physical level, right? You know, it depends on so many other things. And so the truth of it is having a chance to connect mentally and spiritually and do that whole thing is really, really important before the bodies come together. So
And the practices we can do to feel juicy and sensual and as if we had just made love without the making love can really keep us in our power.
Well, share some of those. Share some of those, and I want to share some too, but share some of those that are that you know you love to teach people.
Well, I like your hula hoop, so you tell more about that. One of the practices I like is just taking my shoes off, and we're very blessed here in California that most of the time we can go outside and not be sideswiped by a tornado. And really imagine that you're making love to the earth, as if you're breathing in her energy into your body. The real, like, suctioning kind of connection. Sometimes I'll even lie down right on the grass and roll around and just notice the areas of my body that I'm keeping it together, like the permakegel, and, like, open those areas.
And permakegel.
Oh, please, for years I walked around with a permakegel thinking it would keep me safe. It was like I was walking on eggshells over the earth. And as soon as I started to let my vagina go and really walk as if I was making love, I became this, well, the outside world said, wow, she's sexy or sensual. How I felt as a woman was full, confident, yummy, like I had healthy boundaries. I mean, how did that happen? I'm just walking with consciousness. And then a buzz, a real buzz feeling, sensation began to happen in my pelvis. And it was the feeling of, like, the only other feeling I could say I recognized it was sexual turn on. But it would happen when I was looking at a tree, or it would happen when I was, you know, cooking dinner with my son. It would happen at these times that were completely not sexual, but that same buzz would occur in my pelvis. And I started to have a redefining of that vibration in my second chakra as one of creation and sensuality and feminine empowerment and sexuality, of course, as well. But in those situations, out in nature, with a client, with my son, of course, I'm not going to use that in a sexual way. I use it more in a feminine invitational way or a more feminine empowerment way. But now I'm really quite comfortable with the sensations in my body, and I've noticed a marked difference to my capacity to orgasm and even begin to ejaculate, which that had never occurred in my life before, until I got really comfy, loving, validating, welcoming of the expressions of my second chakra.
You know what? I found something so interesting that when people get into spiritual practices, immediately all the energy goes from the heart up. And the negation of the lower three chakras is huge. I had to consciously come back down and go, oh my God, I have these first three chakras and they have a purpose. And they need me to come back and to connect with them. And a lot of the people that you see walking down the street who look very sexy are not. Have you ever noticed that sometimes women look like they're taking their breasts out for a walk?
Well, they're trying. They're not being sexuality itself. They're trying to be sexy.
Right. Trying to be sexy as opposed to finding it inside of ourselves. I remember when Yogi Bhajan gave us this one exercise, and you lay down on your stomach, and you put your hands flat on the floor, and you just bounce your hips up and down on the floor. And he goes, like you're having sex. Do it like you're having sex. Your chin is on the floor. Your hand's on the floor. You're bouncing up and down. He said, your idea of having sex is so limited. Have sex with the whole universe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was. I wish I was there.
Yeah, it was just that, you know, that capacity to do it. I still teach it in classes, you know, now. It's because it's so freeing. For women to understand, especially that as you do this, you people laugh and they go through all sorts of things, you know, bouncing up and down on the pelvis. It takes a whole lot of stress out of the lower back.
Yes.
You know, because all of a sudden when you're holding your pelvis and you're trying to be sexy, we usually tilt the pelvis out so that your buttocks comes up. It puts a lot of pressure on L4 and 5 and locks your whole pelvic area down.
But
so
doesn't it also,
yeah.
And to me, when one does that, it also sort of prostitutes the energy, you know? It's got a different energy to the pelvis when it's tilted like that. It's not one of honor, I'm a queen, honor me, I'm here, I'm a radiant, you know, goddess. It's more of a manipulation energy.
Because it's locked. Anything that's locked down is not inclusive. It's exclusive.
Right. Got it.
And anything that's opened up is inclusive. And what we're talking about with sexuality and sensuality in this sense is that literally you want to feel so connected and so juicy that, you know, the entire universe is attracted to you.
I love that. I mean, I'm sure, well, let's just put it all out on the table, shall we? There have been times when I have been rolling around on the grass in the backyard. Just, I'd been in my head all day trying to do it right, trying to look good, trying to make it happen, and I just stop. You know, I get out there, and I just roll around in the grass, and I've literally orgasmed without any genital stimulation or what have you, just by surrendering, just by welcoming in this energy that's there all the time to support me, nourish me, sustain me, and to let it in and let life source have its way with me, trust the benevolence of the universe, surrender, it moves me to tears to think I've been doing it on my own all this time.
And I think for women that's really an important thing, is to be able to let go, to let down, and to say, you know, we can't just, I worked with a in vitro specialist for years and some of his clients. And what I would find is these people, when they're trying to get pregnant, they're trying to have a child, they're so uptight. And the pelvis is completely closed down, locked down, and they're not having fun. They're having a really challenging time with each other. They're both feeling inadequate. And then you find out, like, whose fault it is, like if it's the sperm or the tilt of the uterus or whatever it is, and then the other person feels a little bit more relieved, but nothing else happens, you know. So really getting in there and allowing us to let the area go, because wherever we stop that flow in our body, that juicy flow in our body, is where we're not connected to the other and to the infinite. And there's this breath that I was just talking about this with somebody this morning. There's this breath called hula, and it's so one time we're doing this in class, and it was towards the end of the class, and we were like doing this squats with that. It was like, and afterwards, this whole group of women, all of them, they're going like, and it sounded like everybody was having an orgasm. And
I know.
Everybody was like laid down on the floor and started like laughing, and one of their husbands was outside, and he was like, what were you all doing in there?
I love it.
Oh my God, sound like. He said, you know what it sounded like. So to know that we can take our breath and we can take movement and we can move all that juicy energy up and down, however we want, it's creative energy, right?
Yes, exactly. It reminds me of a practice that I did with some girlfriends. So there's the dancing, the moving, the surrendering to the energy of the earth, of walking on the earth. And there's also like the practice of eating. We would blindfold one another with velvet soft blindfolds. And we'd get out a platter of chocolate. Some would be warmed up hot chocolate. Some would be, you know, crunchy with nuts. Other would be dark. Some would be milk. Some had those little liqueurs on the inside. You just didn't know what was coming. And the only response we were allowed to have was a moan. And so there was, and then we had to switch. And we even got our door knocked on. Are we okay in there? From the neighbors. Because it was so fun and freeing and nourishing to give ourselves permission to express, not just have, that's important too, but to express pleasure audibly from the, and it would just get deeper and deeper and deeper into our womb until it was as if our womb was moaning. It was awesome. And I think the crunchy parts, the shame, the inhibition, all the things that one goes through when one does a practice like that is exactly what we want to love and embrace and have compassion for and move through so that we can have that profound connection we yearn for with another, with Source, and with ourselves. Yeah.
Absolutely. And these, you know, all of these techniques that we're talking about are so wonderful because they just, some of them are ancient, and some of them, that, you know, that chocolate ceremony. Who knows how many thousands of women at some point in time have done that chocolate ceremony, or done something where you blindfold each other and you smell essential oils. You just put essential oils under somebody's nose.
Oh, nice.
And you just allow them to smell that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or go on a blind walk. I have couples when I teach couples classes, and I've had women do this on women's retreats. Do a blind walk, 15 to 30 minutes, one leads in 15 to 30 minutes. No speaking, no nothing, but you have them smell and touch things.
Nice.
And all of a sudden the other senses get stimulated.
Yes.
And what happens when they come back is they're really in this juicy, connected place because all of a sudden their eyes and their mouth got turned off. Those two senses. So you went into your deeper senses, which connect you to your sixth sense, your intuition. When that's really turned on, you get so sensual because you can hear and you can feel more deeply and you can smell more deeply. And, you know, the consciousness of lovers is really stimulated by the sense of smell.
Yes, this is stunning what you're saying. And I'm also brought to your comment at the beginning of the call about, you know, easily releasing any weight and being very at peace in our juicy, delicious, voluptuous bodies. I find when we're unconscious or in our mind, we eat more than we need to. We don't slow down to savor the pleasure of every bite. And I'm not like some totally healthy, perfect person here, but I don't watch my weight. I don't worry about my weight. I haven't for years, and I completely attribute it to my sensual practices, with one bite eaten with presence, felt with pleasure. I'm so satisfied. I don't need to eat too fast or fill a void on the inside with something on the outside that it'll never be enough. I'm learning to find that sense of fullness from within.
That is so true and so profound. And when you do that, it's like all of a sudden, if you really sit down a Big Mac or a Hostess Twinkie or something like that, and you make yourself really, really taste it and see how your whole body feels with it, you're not going to do it again because it doesn't make you feel good.
No.
And afterwards, you feel really sick and stupid and slow and all of those kinds of things. So you start making other choices when you're present with it. So we're talking about being a lover to everything.
Yeah.
So when you're a lover with your food, you're letting that do exactly what you said, nourish you. And it's the hardest thing. I've taught women's retreats and had, you know, had total silence at meals.
Yeah.
And it's so challenging for most people to do.
Mm.
Because not to be reading a book or having the TV on or talking to somebody else or sitting at your desk. I have a beautiful backyard, and I make myself go out and eat my lunch in my backyard.
Mm.
So I get to watch the birds and the butterflies and whatever it is. When I'm home, I eat my lunch in my backyard.
Nice. That's very similar to why I chose the property I'm at right now. Is my office is this little bungalow in the backyard. Same thing, butterflies, dragonflies, little squirrels come up and say hello. And even though I'm not a doctor, I'm a coach, I'm an author, what I've learned from the doctors I have interviewed is that when we eat in a unconscious, reading a book or even worse, like upset or stressed, our body takes the food in a fight or flight mechanism, which turns it immediately into fat. So even
yes.
if we're eating the healthiest salad, it's still going to make us fat. However, when we slow down and the fight or flight dissolves and we're at peace and we're present and we're grateful and we're experiencing pleasure, some other, I can't remember the name of it, but some other hormone kicks in and it takes our food and it turns it into like healthy muscles and bones and blood and the rest of it. So there's a scientific reason behind it and an energetic reason behind really seeing food as an access to nourishing yourself with pleasure. Not and really releasing it needing to be a vice,
right?
Or something we resist.
Yes, I mean, and people say, "Well, you say chocolate's good," and I said, "Absolutely." You know, dark chocolate is like it's really good for us as women. But the difference between having a couple of bites of dark chocolate and eating an entire bar, you know, is a totally different thing. You don't need to eat a whole entire bar. If you taste one or two bites, and you let it melt in your mouth, and you allow yourself to savor it, it's like, you know, the difference between fucking and making love, you know?
Thank you, yes.
Fucking is just, you know, it's just a release up against the wall, and you never feel all that good afterwards. You know, it's not like, oh, wow, that was great, I want to do that again, unless it's your lover and you're just doing this, like, once in a while for, like, really a fun thing. But the difference between that and having somebody slowly touch you and caress you and, you know, kiss your whole body, and it's a very different experience. And so I agree with you. Why wouldn't we want to do that with our food, which we're expecting to energize us, right? We're expecting our food to feed us.
Yeah. Every action I began to see differently. I saw the addictive behaviors of cravings for the high sugar content chocolate or the wine or those sort of things, and or even a lot of that stuff in my coffee. And I started to cut all the sugars out and notice they were sort of feeding my fear, my addictions. And as I cut those out, I started to really have to deal with the fears that were going on, and instead of use the vice on the outside, go within. And I want to encourage the listeners, as you begin these practices we're speaking of, it's not like it's an immediate kumbaya, okay? You're going to come up against what your behaviors have been resisting, okay? So there's going to potentially be a layer of fear or shame or discomfort, or validated anger. So just notice that whatever's in there has a message, and that you are not the anger. You are the space in which the anger arises. So breathe, allow, let it pass. It's kind of funny, but kind of like a fart. You know, it just comes up, comes through, goes out, to go. But and it's a way of not becoming the anger or hooking onto it or resisting it. You just allow it through. But what I find is that it leaves a trickle. It leaves a message. It leaves a nugget of wisdom. If we can welcome it, feel it, and allow it to pass, there's a nugget there. That anger was there on purpose because potentially your boundaries were crossed. You were out of sync with your values. You had lost your way. So it was a gift. It was a gift. And so we're grateful. And then you can incorporate that nugget into your feminine empowerment in the moment. You become wiser. You become more discerning. You have greater capacity to stay present the next time, to have a deeper connection to your intuition the next time. So there's nothing wrong when you find anger or shame or pain. It's part of our growth. Welcome it to the best you can. Call someone like Guru Tej to help you through it, or myself, because this is really, I believe, where all our power is hidden.
That is so true. That was so well said. I think that there's actually, there's you know, a couple of cheaters, and sugar is a huge one. To me, the other one is caffeine. Mm. You know, sugar takes you up, and then it smashes you down not that much longer, and we have to keep doing it. And caffeine just makes everything go so fast that you don't feel it. Mm. And I'm not talking about a little bit of green tea. I'm talking about coffee and, you know, lots and lots of, you know, Full Throttle or Red Bull or whatever it is, you know, that
actually
takes us and, you know, makes us crazy and doesn't allow us to see that thing. Because sometimes we run so fast from that which we don't want to see.
Oh, yeah.
That there's a beautiful story that Miller Raper told. His teacher used to do stuff to him all the time. And this time he sent him out to a cave. He said, sit with your fears. Go out to this cave and sit with your fears. So one day he was meditating, and early in the morning, and he heard all of this clanging and banging. And somebody was banging pots together. And then all of a sudden there was just this dreadful stench. And he went to the door of the cave, and he saw all of these monsters. And he realized, oh, my God, these are my fears. They have just actually come into form. Mm. He goes, what do I do with them all? And the answer that came to him was, invite them in.
Yes.
So he said, won't you come in? And half of them vanished.
Mm.
And he said, would you like to sit down? And another half of them vanished.
Wow.
And then he didn't know what to do next. He goes, okay, now I've got them sitting down here. What do I do with them? And it was like, ask them if they would like some tea. So he said, do you want some tea? Another three vanished. That's only like there's only three left.
Right.
So he went and got the tea, and he brought them the tea. And as he was serving them tea, the rest of them vanished.
Nice. Nice.
So,
it's beautiful. I've done three ayahuasca journeys in my life. And I don't think I need to do any more. They were quite intense. But what happened is Panchamama brought my fears to me, my demons. My prayer was, show me the way. And for hours upon hours, she brought demons to me. And the first night I did it, they were so terrifying. I resisted them, and it was an awful journey. And on the second time I did it, second night, I opened up and I said, yes, Mom, I choose love. And they began to sit. Instead of, like, trying to scare me, they began to sit around me. And by the end, it was this scene in a swamp. There's probably close to 20 gnarly demons. And it wasn't until the most gnarly of all, which looked the most like me, but my hands were literally over my face, so ashamed of who I was. And as I came forth, having made peace with all those other 20 of them, I broke down into tears, saying, oh, isn't she lovely? Isn't she the most beautiful creature ever? I had found peace and compassion and forgiveness for all the parts of myself I had hidden and denied and judged and blamed. And it was so healing to me. And as soon as that happened, you know, the candle went on, the ceremony happened to just be over as that occurred, and all the demons went away. But it's so very true what you're saying. If we can embrace, welcome, serve some tea, and really invite them to the table, they no longer have power over us, and quite often transform into our greatest strengths.
I absolutely know that your biggest weakness is only the flip side of your greatest strength, and you can't have your greatest strength truly be empowered unless you know that flip side, unless you know that weakness. And it takes a lot of, you can't be rigid and face your fears. You've got to be, as you said, full of love. You've got to open up. You've got to be sensual with them. You have to understand the senses that created those fears.
Mm. Yes. And to let listeners know, I'm so not perfect. I mean, there were, right when my son is 8, so when my mother died, it was about 9 years ago, and I got a divorce within a year. I was hiding in my house that I'd used my mother's inheritance to renovate, so I felt that was really bad manners to sell it, even though that was the right decision to make. I hid. I went into debt. I was drinking coffee every morning and wine every night and not sleeping with a newborn. Not a pretty time. And so I'm not perfect, and I've learned a lot from what doesn't work, so I can share with you what does.
Truthfully, you know, I mean, I think that that's what has taught us the hard lessons are oftentimes, you know, they say they're your best teachers, and when you're going through it, you're like, oh, this can't possibly, nothing good can come out of this. It's too horrible. It's too, you know, whatever. I was like, you know, I mean, oh, my goodness gracious. Yes. You know, yeah, I was running a spiritual community and building spiritual communities all over Canada. Meanwhile, my husband's beating me, you know, and, you know, was a complete, you know, just had total rage problems, which, of course, I didn't know what to do with, and he wouldn't admit that he had them, you know. So, yes, and out of that, you know, consciousness, at some point you go, I don't need this. I need,
right.
You know, I actually am so ready to wake up. And I have to say, at the same time, I was meditating, hardly sleeping, fasting most of the time. So it was really like understanding the, just the time of the year that we're in is you have to die. Sometimes physically, and other times just on other levels to old patterns. You know, and it's a blood death. It's not just, I mean, look at, what is Easter and Baisakhi and Passover? They're all about blood rituals of dying, right?
Yes.
You have to die in order to be reborn. And the death is not always of our choosing. I mean, we think, oh, I just want to sit down and die or fall asleep and die in my sleep. Sometimes your deaths are really violent things that wake you up. And if you can say to them, oh, wow, you know, how can you get inside of this and do exactly what Alana was talking about? The feminine we want to serve. So how can you serve your fears? Not to get lost in them, but how can you become, you know, sensual? How can we dance? You know, you talked about dancing a little. Talk about dancing more.
Oh,
talk about how you use dancing, and then I want to talk about how I use it.
Oh, dancing is my church. I'm a bright woman, and so I think I default to overthinking, overanalyzing a lot. And dancing for me is a way to just stop the mind and listen to source have its way with my body. And it's a way that I can be the space to let emotions come up and out. I've done sacred dance class now for so many years, and we just close our eyes for an hour and a half, and we're guided through different areas of our body, and we let whatever comes up, comes up. If I cry, if I scream, if I go into the corner and huddle into a little womb-like position, if I stamp around, I've even, you know, you were saying with your one teacher saying lie down and press your pelvis against the floor and pump it. We're often asked just to stand and shake and move our pelvis. And at one point, there was so much anger in me, so much rage in me. I was so afraid to ever express it and hurt somebody, but this was a safe place, so here we go. And I was just mad. And all of a sudden in my imagination, the ground turned to a bunch of women's dead heads and their bony fingers. And they were all saying, yes, give it to us. Give it to us. We want it. And I was like, oh, you want my anger? You want my judgment? You want my self-abuse? They're like, yes, let us drink it in. So I shook it out of my hands, and I shook it out of my ass, and I shook it out of my feet, and I just moved my pelvis and just screamed my head off. And by the end, I felt so cleansed, so clear. And then in my imagination, the ground just turned to this beautiful meadow of green, just with one little hand of a skeleton with a little A-OK sign. She was like, good job, girlfriend. You know we're always here for you. You can let it loose anytime you want. That this Mother Earth, she takes in, you know, compost, right? She'll take our stuff. Just give it to her. And even Gurudev last night, you know, with what went on with that gentleman and being so upset with this rage, I called over a friend who's a gentleman, and it was just said, "Could you just hear me, please?" And I was on my knees, and he was sitting on the couch, and I just started to dance and sob, my yearning for a quality man to hold my presence, and to be the banks of the river for me, and to meet me, and to open me. And I was sobbing and dancing and writhing, and he was just magnificent. He just watched me and said, "I get it. Tell me more. I'm here." And it was through movement versus chit-chat talking therapy all the time, but it was through movement and tears that I really let go and told the truth. Source, God, cleanse me of what's attracted this. I'm so ready to wake up, to heal, to receive the support that I believe I need to be who I choose to be on this planet.
Yes, absolutely. Movement is, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Because our revealed parts are so much more juicy and alive than our concealed parts. You know,
yeah.
In clothes, it's like you're almost more sexy when you conceal, and in connection, we're much more sexy in revealed.
Nice.
There's another dance that I want to talk about, and it's really very specifically to release the pain of the past that keeps us locked down. And the thing is that have plugged into us, you know, there's cords of energy
Yes.
that plug into us from all sorts of situations in our life. But sexual ones really do plug into us. And this is not bad nor good. It's the way that we've been set up. But men have the capacity to feed off of our energy through those lines long after we're not with them anymore because they left those lines in us when we made love. And so this is a really great way to just not hurt anyone, but disconnect. If you have swords, great. If you do not have swords, get some really big kitchen butcher knife, okay? You're not going to hurt anyone. You're going to grab hold of these, one in each hand, and become like Kali, who people think of Kali as the goddess of death, but she's the one that sucks the death out of a situation.
Nice.
She's the one that, you know, pulls death out of you. So put on some really great drum music or whatever you like that's really powerful and dance around the room, swinging these knives out into your magnetic field and putting that steel into you, because when a woman gets wounded and we allow ourselves to be deeply penetrated, which is what the whole sensual sexual act is about, is the penetration so that we can go into the elevation, we actually get very vulnerable. And when that gets pulled away from us, we feel betrayed and hurt and all this kind of stuff. So taking these steel, which is the strongest element, the strongest metal element that there is. If you've ever been to a steel factory or seen, it's like the heat that it takes to forge steel is unbelievable. So you go out there with that steel and you dance it through your magnetic field and you cut all those cords and you give yourself the strength of that steel, but the coolness of the steel as well. So, you know, but you get really hot while you're doing it, you know, and dance. And I promise you, if you dance with swords or butcher knives for 40 days, you'll find that a whole new pattern is created and that those connections will not be there anymore.
Wow. That's fabulous. I do an imagery work like that, but I've never actually used the knives themselves. So this
Oh, yeah.
is stunning.
Really,
I
the knives
it.
Themselves. Get the knives themselves into that, you know, field. Yeah.
I love it. In fact, I'm. Do you know Marianne Halpin, who does, you know, the fearless women in those the photographic books? She has these big swords. I kind of want to ask her if I can borrow them. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes, yeah. It's really true. It's...
And on the other side of it, while we're both speaking about, you know, more of the darker, I suppose, energies of dance, which I believe are the ones that are really beneficial to talk about because they're the ones that people normally tiptoe around, just to also say that I dance for joy. I dance in the kitchen, I dance in my car, I dance around the backyard, I dance with my son on the coffee table to reggae. I mean, I'm just a moving being. It just helps me stay grounded, centered, happy, full, juicy all the time.
Yes, I dance in my classes. I think that dancing is so important. And when I was teaching in the Eastern Bloc countries,
yeah,
I had them dancing, and it was really interesting, you know, that they really, like, enjoyed it, but it's not something that a lot of them do on a regular basis, you know, because it was like, wow. Yeah, so it was great, yeah. And people are always amazed that, you know, I know anything about the music that's happening right now, and I have to say it's only my daughter. I owe it all to my daughter. She would make me compilation CDs. And just, you know, but it's like, oh, my God, it's so, you know, it's so important, the dancing thing. It's like, we always danced, and now it's like, you know, you have to, like, really make an effort to dance, except if you just, you know, I think that's what made me fall in love with iPods, is when I saw those ads, and everybody was dancing with little things in their ears, and I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It so follows through with confidence and courage as a woman, I believe, because when you give yourself permission to dance, it so easily trickles in permission to ask for what you want, permission to say no when you really mean it, not just, yes, sure, I'll do it, fine. To me, it really trickles through into feminine empowerment in all ways, and it also keeps you connected to your body, so your light is coming and that radiance is coming from the inside out, and you're not looking to the latest, you know, push-up bra or outfit in order to be enough.
Right. There's another mantra that I really love that's super simple. Well, there's one that's for clearing, but this one I'm going to say, and it sounds really simple, but when you do it, it's really challenging. And if you really, really want to challenge yourself, sit in front of a mirror and do it for a minimum of 22 minutes. And at first, you won't be able to do it. I can pretty well guarantee it. And the mantra is really simple. I like myself. I love myself. And I see my soul. I like myself. I love myself. And I see my soul. Eyes open, looking at yourself. And do that. And then just let your voice get as juicy and loving as you can. And then you'll find yourself going, I don't fucking like myself. I don't, you know, just all these kinds of things. But then go back to, I like myself. I love myself. And I see my soul.
I love that. I'd like to know your opinion on self-pleasuring. I've done so many different group, feminine group coaching practices, and I tweak my curriculum a little different every time. But one of them that I did is the self-pleasuring, not for any goal of orgasm, but for the experience of pleasure every single evening, and for a bonus to keep eye-to-eye contact with yourself in the mirror as you pleasure yourself. And the results are astounding. In terms of releasing shame and just being juicy from the inside out, and, you know, circumstances that are challenging just rolling off your back that week. And yet I get a lot of silence on the other end of the phone when I announce the practice for the week.
I have no problem. I have no problem with this at all, because I think that, you know, it's very different for women than men. Men lose, when men masturbate, they lose fluid. And that's the same fluid that their brain floats in. That's part of why they go to sleep right after making love oftentimes.
Oh, really? But, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the seminal fluid. It's the cerebral spinal fluid, right? Same thing.
Yeah.
Brain floats in, goes out the end. Women, it's a whole different thing. And I agree with you. I remember when we, in the 60s and 70s, when we first got speculas and, you know, went down and started combinations with mirrors and looking at how we were put together.
Right.
And then when Judy Chicago did the dinner party, which was all women's, you know, female organs, you know, and made into plates and forks and bowls, and, you know,
yes.
It was so beautiful.
Yes.
It was so gorgeous. And, you know, just there's some women who don't need to, some women never be able to do it. And then there's a really that just need permission.
Right.
That need permission to say, I need to discover down here how it works. How can I tell somebody else what I want if I don't know how it works and what it does?
Right.
And, you know, we're hidden. It's not like, you know, I've gotten a real great, you know, guys hold their organs every time they go to the bathroom during
right.
the day, right?
Right.
If they're
right.
standing up, if they're sitting down, they're not doing that so much. But so them touching their genitalia is no big deal because they do it all day long.
Right.
Right? And as little boys, it's all out there. They touch it. They see it. It's there, you know.
Right.
They, you know, they get into, you know, contests with each other when they're teens masturbating. Women don't do that so much.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. It's hidden. It's sacred. It's inside. It's, you know, it's don't show this to anybody else. It's like, you know, private. Don't let anybody touch you here. Don't.
Right. Right.
So I think it's coming to a place of understanding, wow, this was created by the infinite. Why can't I understand this?
Right. Yeah. And celebrate it.
Yeah. Find out. How does it really work? And there's no, you know, it's like any other science that you study. Our body is really a science lab, and there's no end to the depth of it.
Yes. And I find the more space I give myself to learn about myself and my cycles and how I feel different times of the month or what I need, sometimes it's more to go in and other times it's to be more expressed or this kind of touch or that kind of touch or this dancing. I actually don't feel like dancing. I just feel like sitting and being with my body, and other times I want big time drums. That listening to my body, honoring of it, learning about it, also seems to heighten my sense of confidence, self-assurance. It dissolves my need for approval and acknowledgement. And I'm right. Don't you think I'm right? Do you like me? Am I enough? All of that little girl stuff that I've healed over the years. And being at peace in my body, so that's my own joy that I get to experience from doing all this work. And then on the other side, I find I'm attracting a higher and higher a quality of man over time, because they're noticing a sense of sensuality and pleasure about me that's not, look at me, I'm using my sexuality as a manipulation. It's, I'm having pleasure all by myself over here. I don't need you to acknowledge me. I'm not trying to hold it from you. There's no manipulation going on. I'm just having pleasure being me because I get to. And that they find that very sexy and attractive. And they approach me differently than the old, you know, 20 years ago model who was, I was very much about, do you see me? Am I enough?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know. And it's, what you're saying is so true. And the beauty of getting inside of our bodies, it's the difference between the Piscean age where the body was the shame and had to be, you know, beaten into submission, and this age that we are in now that is our body has got to go into the infinite with us.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's making love, whether it's eating, whether it's praying, whether it's speaking, whatever it is, this is a communion right here that we're having with each other. And this common union, this communion is, we're making love with each other in that we're being able to give each other these techniques that sustain and support you in opening up to the fact that you are enough. I love going to the Korean spas because you get to see all different sizes and shapes of bodies. You know,
yeah.
It's so great. And you just see who's at home in their body and who's not. And it
right.
doesn't matter what their body looks like on the outside,
no.
but who's really at home and lives inside their body and is grateful and graceful in their body.
Totally. I've attended workshops where, goddess workshops where at one point we're all just naked and we're asked to look at all the different, like, let's get over it, can we? And just how freeing that experience is. And I've also led workshops where I ask them all to come in lingerie, just get us triggered right away and see each other and really deal with what we suppress all the time. And then through different dance, and bringing forth different archetypes of the feminine By the end of the workshop, we are free. We are cheering each other on. We're like, oh, girlfriend, that's a great move. I'm taking that. And it doesn't matter anymore. And it's such sisterhood and celebration and freedom. Kind of gets me inspired right now. I think I want to do another workshop because it's so, it's when one woman gives herself permission to shine, the whole room just goes Shazam and the energy just elevates and we all can drink in that permission to shine.
Absolutely, totally. And when you were talking about the whole, that at different times of your cycle, you feel differently,
yeah.
It's so interesting because I have a whole program called the Moon Cycles.
Right.
And the moon, but the moon goes through different 11 different places in a woman's body. And as well as your menstrual cycle, you've got this other cycle going on, and it changes every 2.5 days. And sometimes you feel very, you know, confident and assured, and you know, this other times you're in fantasy world because you're supposed to be getting, you know, downloading healing energies, and so it's very, very different. And you know, just having that knowingness is really a very powerful tool for women to understand and not feel bad about the fact that, you know, one day a guy brings her, you know, a flower, and she's like, oh my god, that's so great. And the next day he brings her a flower, and she's like, what the hell, where's the rest of the bouquet? And he's like, what do you mean, bitch? And she's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But she's feeling completely different.
Right.
You know, she's feeling much more like, you know, very confirmed and very, you know, and it's like, okay, you need to honor me in a bigger way. This is not enough. And so to men, it's totally confusing. To women, if you actually understand these cycles, you can go, ah, that's what that's about. This is not about me being good or bad. This is about me being in this and experiencing this, so I can learn how to be more kind inside of this. But it's this, I think, that everybody should be taught by the time they're 9 or 10. All males and females should be taught this science so that men would know how to help women elevate themselves, and women would understand these cycles, and that there's the positive, challenged, and, you know, neutral aspect of each one, and how to be able to get into those power states of it. Yeah.
It's beautiful. So I want to learn more about that. I remember when you told me about it before, maybe I was in one of those days where I couldn't deal with anything, or maybe it was my own evolution. It was just too much to handle. But just today I got a calendar from my friend Carol Allen about, you know, my birthday and when are good days for this, that, and the other. And I don't know if it was just my skepticism, or maybe I just wasn't really able to contain or have the capacity to have that much information in making important decisions and when I choose to go within and when I choose to show up in life. So what you're speaking of now seems in alignment with my readiness to be gentle with myself, to be supportive of myself, and to also be supportive of those around me, and making it easy to be with Alana, making it for Alana easy to be with Alana.
Right. And one of the things I say in the Moon Center, I just say, you have to understand that when women are in these spaces in the challenged aspect, she doesn't even want to be with herself.
Yeah, really. That's what I'm getting.
It's not about you. But when men have tools, women need tools as well. But men desperately need tools because they want to fix things. So if they have tools to be able to truly help us back into the most exalted spaces of ourselves, then they're there as a support system. And understanding that, then it gives them tools as opposed to going, oh, she's just a crazy bitch today.
Right. I need to interview you for my next month, get her to say yes, membership, so we get these men having more tools. Because I've attracted some beautiful men that really want to serve us well and are frustrated with us, frankly.
Fabulous. No, I actually, I have a whole series that they can,
Good.
They can do that. They can help. There's one for women, and there's one for men to understand women. I just have to get a better name for it than Moon Centers, because Moon Centers mean nothing to most men. So
nothing.
So. So we're working on the name factor.
Good. Well, in completion to this incredibly delicious call, what is something you've always wanted to ask me or always wanted to share with me?
I want you to just say, what is in the last year, because it changes year to year, isn't it? Like every year there's so many more things that you learn. In the last year, if you got to say what you've really learned that you feel like would be such a wonderful gift to women that you haven't shared yet, what would that thing be?
Giving myself permission to give myself what I know I need to be the best me. There's different people's ideas, and there's different templates, and there are all these different things. I gave myself permission to have a beautiful home. I used to be ashamed about that, saying I should just be happy with whatever I have. But when my environment is beautiful, when I am surrounded by beauty itself, I am a more creative, balanced, nurturing, powerful woman. I gave myself permission for that. Second, I gave myself permission for an office outside my home. I thought that was a little much. You know, I should be able to just use a spare bedroom and be grateful. But when I gave myself permission and I opened my door, and as I speak to you right now, I look at a pond and you know, hummingbirds and a beautiful tree. Again, I do better coaching sessions. I write more profound work. I believe I'm a better interviewer. I serve the world better. And the last issue, or the last component, I suppose, of what I gave myself permission for was a whole room for meditation, for exercise, for prayer, for journaling. And in a three-bedroom house, that's, you know, my bedroom, my son's bedroom, and that. It's not a guest bedroom. I don't have a guest bedroom. I chose my core practices over pleasantries of obligation, of looking good, of doing the right thing, of they can sleep on the couch. This room is a statement of me putting myself first, taking care of myself first, and no longer always seeking approval, agreement, validation, acceptance. I've so many years I've looked for the outside people to agree for me to exhale. And these choices and where I live now is an example of me giving myself permission for me to honor my truth. It's not right, it's not wrong, it's my truth, and I'm going to honor it. And I believe the successes I'm having, the clearing away of what doesn't work, the bringing forth of a higher caliber of a team in my world, it's all a reflection of, it comes down to self-love.
It's so great when you think about it. It's like, look, you can say, okay, this man that came into your life, oh my God, how challenging it was. But it took you a month to get him in and out. That's pretty
it's
good.
True.
It's like,
true.
And he, look at that side of it. It's not, he gave you a gift, but the gift that he also gave you was realizing that, I'm actually worth more than that.
Yeah.
That you're priceless.
Yeah, and that my desires, my what I consider deal breakers or what my needs are, they're not right or wrong, they're mine. And I don't need to give you reasons or prove them or anything. They just are. Oh, that
mm-hmm.
feels so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right. And then you can understand them. Understanding is such a beautiful word because it literally means to stand under.
Mm.
And in a relationship, our relationship to ourselves,
yeah.
In our relationship with others, we have to be able to do that, to actually climb inside the person and stand under them and understand what that means for them.
Yeah.
And that's really sexy.
Yeah, I think
because
so.
What does everybody really want the most? They want to belong. The longing to belong is our biggest longing, and so, yes.
I belong in my skin. I belong in the world. I belong to me. I'm not resisting me. I mean, some days, of course, but I'm not resisting me anymore. I feel so beautiful. I certainly aren't as thin as normal. I've certainly got more wrinkles. You know, it's not what I normally look to, but I feel so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I look at myself in the mirror sometimes, and you said that practice. I like myself. I love myself. I see my soul. I mean, I don't want to challenge you that I could do it, but I haven't done it for 22 minutes, but I do it. I do it in the morning when I put my makeup on, and I sometimes get touched to how proud I am of how far I've come.
You know, it's so beautiful what you're saying because it's like as we unveil ourselves, really, it's like the beauty that is there is so gorgeous, and as we hide, whether it's hiding under clothes or body fat or shame or whatever the weight is that we hide in, we lose our beauty and our acknowledgement of our beauty. So when somebody tells us we're beautiful, true beauty is really radiance. It's not, do you have a gorgeous face? It's how radiant are you? And what are you doing to keep that radiance alive, you know, so that people really, they want to know, what do you do because I want what you have?
Yeah.
And then we get to share with them tools and techniques, you know, so that they can actually fish in their own pond, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm so grateful for you in my life for being asked on this series, and this has been so nourishing for me. Thank you.
Well, I'm so grateful, too, and I'm just going to open up if there's any questions that anybody would like to ask. This is the time that they can do so.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
All right. So no questions. We're going to just say thank you. Thank you, Alana. I am so great. And she is going to give you her website and her information so that you can find her, that you can get coaching calls from her, that you can be part of whatever next Wonderful Wild Women's Weekend she does. And
yes.
Who knows what else she has to offer, but it will be there. So she's going to give you her information.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yes, my name, Alana Pratt, AlanaPratt.com. You can go right there and just sign up for my weekly musings, my newsletter. From there, you'll be introduced to my book, How to Be and Stay Sexy, or my membership, Redefining Sexuality. And, of course, if there's an issue that's really pressing and you're at that tipping point and you'd really like some support, potentially coaching is the answer. So you can request a 30-minute complimentary session with me and we can see if we're a match. So there's lots of ways to play.
Bless you, bless you. And I look forward to connecting with you on many things in the future.
Oh, as do I.
Invite you all to come to my site as well, which is GuruTej.com or GuruTej.net while it's in being recreated. That's GuruTej.com or .net, either one. And you will be hearing more from us.
Yes, you will.
Sat Nam.
All right, all my love. Thank you so much.